I heard a story this past week that I thought was sort of apropos for this time of the year. A story about a man who was walking in the woods, a man who at this point was an atheist, and he was marveling at creation and all the beauty of it, wonderful fall leaves and the colors and the trees and the babbling brook. It was all wonderful, the animals that he saw here and there darting amongst the trail. And then he heard a little rustling in the brush. He wasn't too worried about it initially, but then it got louder. He turned to look, and there was a grizzly. Humongous, ferocious, bearing down on him. And he was scared, as you might imagine, so he ran. He ran as fast as he could up the path. But as happens when you're being chased, he looked back over his shoulder to see the grizzly gaining on him, and at just that moment he stumbled and fell there to the ground. And the grizzly pounced upon him. He was so scared, tears streaming down his face, heart pounding. He cried out, just as the bear was rearing up to strike him. "Oh my God," he cried. And time stopped. The river stopped flowing. The sounds of the forest halted. The bear was frozen in time. And he heard a voice. And through a light shining there, a voice that came to him and said, "Well, let's see now. You deny my existence for years. You teach others I don't exist. You even credit all of this beauty to a cosmic accident. Do you expect me to help you out of this predicament? Am I to count you as a believer now?" The question came. And the atheist looked into the light. He said, "Well, I would feel like a hypocrite to become a Christian after all these years, but perhaps you could make the bear a Christian?" "Very well," said the voice. The light went out. The river began to run. The forest sounds came back. And the bear dropped its paw about to strike and brought both paws together, bowed its head, and said, "Lord, for this food which I am about to receive, I am truly thankful." Maybe you've heard that one before. It's a good Thanksgiving one, certainly, to be considering as we get ready for Thanksgiving. You know, it's a great holiday indeed. How many already have your turkey? You've got a few out there. Yeah, wonderful. You've got the to-do lists, you're preparing the household, you're cleaning maybe, or maybe you're just getting ready to go to someone else's house to enjoy the festivities. There's a lot going on, getting ready for. And of course, it's that time when we think most of all about giving thanks. We have a great banner behind us to remind us. We have this national holiday for hundreds of years now to help us stop and give thanks. And it seems like such a simple thing, doesn't it? I mean, just to say thanks. Yet we struggle with it. I know I struggle with it sometimes. I mean, as we're growing up as kids, it's one of those mantras our parents try to sort of pound into us, right? Say thank you, say thank you, say thank you. Right? Some of us catch it better than others. Some of us maybe are quicker to respond and to say thanks to whomever might be holding the door or taking care of us at a table or whatever it might be. And some of us struggle to say thanks. Well, our story today out of the scriptures is pretty remarkable as we find 10 people who have this encounter with Jesus, but only one of them says thank you. Seems it's an age-old struggle to respond to goodness with thanksgiving. And I'm not sure why we struggle with it so much. Our brokenness, our distractedness, our hurried lives, perhaps. Maybe that's why we need thanksgiving so much. Helps us to slow down. But here we hear about many who didn't give thanks. We pick it up in Luke 17. It tells us, now on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him, keeping their distance. And they called out, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And then he prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. But then Jesus asked, were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to him, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So why did only one of the 10 return? The foreigner, the Samaritan at that, the one who probably felt at the greatest distance from this Jewish rabbi of Jesus. Why that one? Why not all 10? We don't really know. It's never really explained. But is it that hard to understand? Maybe not. I mean, think about all the times when something wonderful has happened to us and we get caught up in it and we go ahead without thinking about what just took place and how might we respond with gratitude. See, I'm sure all 10 of the lepers were grateful for their healing. How could you not be? I mean, leprosy in those days, if this was leprosy, it was some sort of skin disease, could have been a whole host of things, but that meant isolation. It meant you couldn't live with your family any longer. You couldn't be with your friends that you knew well. You had to live apart from everyone else because you were unclean. And so we find the only ones they could live with were other lepers. They are this colony of outcasts. So as they're healed, it's not hard to imagine they are grateful. They are excited about the change in their life. They are amazed at what has just taken place. But only one of the 10 takes that gratitude, that feeling of joy, and turns it into thankfulness by going back to the one who deserves the thanks. And more than this as a momentary encounter with Jesus, of course, this is a story about humanity in so many ways. Because, of course, God has come in Christ to heal each and every one of us. And perhaps the ratio of those who recognize it and give thanks to God for salvation is maybe 1 in 10. Who returns to give thanks? Maybe King Lear was right. Do you remember him, Shakespeare's hero, King Lear? He said, how sharper than a serpent's tooth is it to have a thankless child? I wonder how Jesus felt in that moment as 10 were healed, but only one came back to say thanks. If he wasn't like so many times as parents are, we have our children, we've done something, we've taken care of them, and they've taken it for granted and run off without a thanks. Seems to be something we do quite often in our lives. When we're young and as we grow up. Fyodor Dostoevsky, the Russian writer, he had a sort of pessimistic view of man. He said, I believe the best definition of man is the ungrateful biped. Well, if 9 out of 10 don't come back, maybe he's right. Maybe that's a definition of us in general, ungrateful bipeds. I'm sure they were grateful. I'm sure our kids, as we take care of them, do things for them, are grateful. But when we don't respond with our thanks, when we don't recognize the goodness of the giver, something's lost. There's a breakdown in the relationship, and we aren't complete. Notice the end of all of this, as Jesus talks to the crowd and says, wow, what happened to the other 9? They didn't come back, huh? His final statement to the Samaritan is, go, your faith has made you well. But that word, well, is also translated as, your faith has rescued you, has healed you, has saved you, has brought you wholeness. And as one commentator thought about it, said, the lepers who were healed and did not thank Jesus, they got a blessing, absolutely, the blessing of healing, but they missed the blessing of wholeness. See, when we take for granted life given to us by God, when we take for granted mercy of grace, when we take for granted God's love, we don't respond to it and recognize it and say, oh, thank you, God, then we're missing this part of our relationship with God, and so we're not whole. The 9 were healed physically, but there was still this spiritual lack in their life. But for the one who came back and said thank you and just praised Jesus, for him there was wholeness, completeness. When we respond to goodness with thankfulness, when we take action, not just something we think and go, oh, that's good, but we respond, we become thanksgivers, right? We give back our thanks to the one who deserves it. But how do we become thanksgivers in this Thanksgiving week? What does it take for that to happen? Well, like our parents were trying to instill in us, it takes building in the habit of thanks, of giving thanks to God routinely, often. And so a few basic habits to develop, if we don't have them already, that will make us into thanksgivers, not just to God, but to the community around us as well. There's the habit of greeting our day and ending our day with a prayer of thanks. As we get up, thank you, God, for this good day, for life and health and breath. Thank you for the blessings that are before me. Imagine starting each day with a prayer like that. It acknowledges this is a gift from God. And then at the end of the day, the prayer of examine, the prayer that looks back and examines the whole day and says, thank you, God, for where you've been, where I've noticed you, and where I haven't. For your faithfulness with me as I've ignored you and noticed you. And thank you. Mealtime prayers, of course. Mealtime prayers, it's not just about saying grace. It's about recognizing grace. Each time when we gather at a meal, whether we're with others or alone, the more we build into our lives this habit, this ritual of giving thanks as we sit down to a meal, the more we'll be completing that relationship, becoming whole as we give thanks to the one who's given us every good gift. The psalmist, one of the most common phrases throughout the Psalms is give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his steadfast love endures forever. It's in some phrase like that over 35 times through the Psalms. The psalmist understood we need this rhythm in our lives, day in and day out, to become thankful people, to become thanksgivers. Because see, when we recognize God's goodness and we respond to it, we become whole. And we become people recognizing and understanding that goodness. And it's easy for us to share that and to be grateful and thankful for the goodness we receive from others. It becomes habitual in us to be thankful people. Of course, when we come to worship is one of the ways we give thanks. It's one of the things, as we build that into our lives, week in and week out, it builds into us this ritual of praise and prayer and thanksgiving. And the more we can build that in week by week, the more complete our soul. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll hear people give thanks for something and I didn't think about that. I didn't consider that aspect of God's goodness. When we come together in the community of faith, it enlarges our mindset and our thankfulness. And I want to do that this morning by using a prayer from a writer, a man named Ted Loader. He's written a few books of prayers. And I struggle with a lot of books of prayers because they seem so sort of awkward and too formal. But I love Ted Loader's prayers. They're honest and real and poetic without being overly effusive. And he helps to expand my mindfulness when it comes to the goodness of God. So this morning, I want to invite you to close your eyes and to hear this prayer of thanksgiving as a way that we all get to give thanks today in ways we might not have thought before. So would you pray with me? O God of stunning surprises and uncanny support, your foolishness is our hope, your lavishness our sustenance, your toughness our encouragement, your gentleness, our ease and recreation. Your gifts within gifts within gifts, our awe and joy. Even as we pray, O Lord, deepen us in the ways of gratitude, of alertness, awareness, imagination, discernment. Not to celebrate fantasies, but to see what is profoundly real. Blessings so close and constant, we scarcely notice or name them as such. Now before you, with you, we would so see and thank you. There is yet beauty in this strident, scarred world, for we have heard strains of it, seen splashes of it, felt the shock and power, draw and renewal of it, and been quickened for a time, even jolted to add a jot and wit to creating a new, brighter world. We thank you, O God, and ask for keener ears, sharper eyes, bolder minds, stronger voices. There is yet love in this violent world, O Lord, for we have experienced it undeservedly, even risked it in moments that claimed us and been changed by it little by little. We thank you for it and ask for larger hearts. There is yet justice in this greedy, get over world, for we have witnessed it and watched its ripples and been humbled and heartened, even drawn to add the ounces of our weight, to tip the scale toward it sometimes. Oh Lord, we thank you for it. And we ask for less caution, less calculation and resistance to its summons. And so to count ourselves among those happy ones, blessed to rise to its challenge in our time and place. For there is nothing trivial about this gift of life you share with us, God, nor frivolous in this creating that you care about. There is yet the whirl of stars and atoms, the light of the sun, the climb of green toward it, the stretch of our souls toward it, the delight of children in it, the healing and wonder of it, and the web and nurture of the friendship it generates. For we have been awed by it all, endowed with it all, and given the chance to hallow it all, and we thank you. So we thank you the more for those who are the hallowers, who show us what it means to see and make all things holy. The fidelity of those who rise each day to care for the children, to watch over the sick, and to do the thousand thankless tasks that sustain us and the community. Thank you for the courage and honesty of poets and prophets whose words and images and visions take us into your presence. For all who say what they mean and mean what they say and build trust among us. For all those gifts and claims, O Lord, make our days like a string of pearls of great price. And loosen in us now our tumbling gratitude. For all the constantly compassionate ways you care for us and share with us, the mysterious power and insistent will to build, to sing, to heal, to speak, to listen, to strive for peace, to walk the narrow way between justice and mercy toward full humanity, to be faithful, bold, quiet of heart, and to pray as people created for and summoned by joy. O Lord, there is nothing else to say except thank you and amen.